Get that. Let's not forget that. I want to make sure we understand it. And I know we say it from time to time, but, you know, folks can be good, you know, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostal, you know, Church of God, whatever. You can be a good person. But if you are unsaved, being a good person does not matter. I'm sure there are a lot of folks in this building who thought that, you know, hey, maybe one of these days when I get to heaven, my good works will outweigh my bad works and I'll go right on into heaven. That's not the way it is. You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. You have to receive Him. You have to receive Him. There is no other way of salvation. And we're going to mention some of this today. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm really good about getting ahead of myself. And of course, some folks like, preacher, since you're ahead of yourself, go ahead and start where you're ahead of yourself and you won't be near as long. It doesn't work that way. I get ahead of myself and I back up where I wanted to start and then we cover the same tracks again. But we live in a day where anybody who says, I believe in God, gets to heaven. That's the day we live in. I believe in God. Well, that's good. I'm glad you believe in God. James says that's good, but the devils believe. And watch this. They tremble. Most folks in today's society do not tremble at God. That's why God is somebody you high-five, you fist-bump, He's my homeboy. No, He's not your homeboy. He's not the man upstairs. He is the God of heaven, the God of glory, who is high and holy. And around the throne of God, if there were time, we would say 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, if there were time, the seraphim do nothing but shout, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's who He is. He is God. He doesn't condescend to you and me in the sense of us just like sweeping stuff under the rug and, you know, I just, you know, He's my, well, it's good. I'm glad. The Lord is supposed to be your personal Savior. He needs to be a personal friend. But let's not forget who He is. Do not forget who God is. And with that said, we live in a time where the God that people serve or the God they think of is a God who just accepts everything despite whatever, do whatever you want to do. And, you know, God is love, so I'm going to, well, I just love anyway. Well, yes, God is love. And God displayed His love on Calvary. But why did God so love the world? What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. Watch this. The reason God displayed His love is so His creation would not die and go to hell. Amen. Amen. Brother Kraft and I were talking a little bit before service. He's talking about burning trash and how hot the trash is, and he's talking about how hot, just imagine how hot hell would be. How many of you have ever been burning trash and that thought's crossed your mind? I don't think I've ever told this story here. If I have, but years ago, our pastor in Tennessee, now granted, some of y'all are going, because of our sensitivities and watching Walt Disney and all that, we're going to get sensitive. Just let's not get sensitive, okay? Help me on this. But he said years ago, his dad was burning trash in a barrel and had caught a rat in a trap, live rat. He just thought, well, I'm burning trash, I might as well just go ahead and throw that thing in there and get rid of it anyway. I mean, it's a rat, you know. So he tossed the rat in that 55-gallon drum. And his dad said that poor rat screamed and screamed and screamed until it died. And Brother Sexton said for years after that, that bothered my dad that he had burnt that rat just because of the suffering that it went through. But the suffering of hell will never cease for all those who have rejected Jesus Christ. Hell is final. There is no court of appeals. There is no exit out of hell. There's no back door into heaven. There's only one remedy for sin, and that's to come to Christ. Charles Spurgeon used to say this, take your text and head to Calvary. And I'm reminded of the words that the angels told to Lot. Stay not in the plain, look not behind thee, flee to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And I want to tell you folks today, don't stay in the plain of this world, don't look behind you to things past. Flee to Mount Calvary that you're not consumed. Come to the cross. We sang it today, kneel at the cross. We talk about the cross, we're not talking about the piece of wood that hung on, that the Savior hung on. We're not talking about a piece of wood, we're talking about the transaction between God and man that took place on the cross. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The only remedy that could bring man and God back to each other is the cross of Calvary. For the time when God, there was a time that God looked on the ignorance of mankind, but now that He's sent Christ, He commands all men everywhere to repent. You can divide mankind into two groups of people. Those who say the cross is absolute foolishness, it makes no sense. What in the world does a dead Jew on a cross do for me? It makes no sense. There's so much evil in the world, and I'm just not going to believe in a God who creates evil and does all these things. I want to tell you, God created a perfect world, a perfect place. He created it perfect, but it was man who chose to sin. It was man who messed up. It was man who chose to go his own way. Bible says we've turned everyone to his own way. That's what we have done as human beings. We've chosen to go our way, go down our road, make our own path. And the folks who say that the cross is foolishness, they say, I have no idea what in the world a man dying on a cross does for me. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the last part of that verse, but unto us which are saved, that the cross is the power of God. I look to the cross, I don't see a tragedy that happened, I see a victory that took place. I don't see a dying Savior who died in defeat. I see a dying Savior who was victorious because He had finished the work that God had given Him to do. I see one on Him the Lord had laid the iniquity of us all. God took the sins of sinners and placed them on Christ, and He punished Christ in the place of sinners, and everyone who comes to Christ will have their sins forgiven. Oh, thank God for the forgiveness of sins. Thank God that when we stand before God, that our sins will not hang over our head, that He will not look at us in wrath and anger because He judged me at Calvary. He judged me in Jesus Christ. And when I stand before Him, I will stand whole and complete in Jesus Christ because of the blood that He shed for me. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There is none. Amen. The only means of salvation. The Bible says this, there is one God. There's not 15 gods. There's not 20 gods. There's not my God, your God, and everybody else's little God. Nor is in Hinduism 300 million, that's not an exaggeration, 300 million gods in Hinduism. Friend, the Bible says, without apology, without explanation, there is one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Not the Virgin Mary. Amen. Not the Virgin Mary. Nope, it's not her. No, it's not a priest. It's not a priest. No. It's not a bunch of good works that people have. No, none of that. No. Listen to me. Isn't it amazing? Listen to that. You hear that? Y'all can't hear it online. Listen to it. Hear that? Phone's ringing. Why is the phone ringing? Because I've left my text where I was going to preach from this morning. I'm preaching on the cross. Say, well, that's just a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. That is the prince of the power of the air trying to distract us from the message of the cross. That tells me that there may be a soul either online or here hanging in the balance, and today could be the last day you have an opportunity to trust Christ. This is not a game. We're not here to play church. I'm not here to play preacher. We're not here to play let's pray. We're not out playing around. I'm not against kids doing it. I wish more kids got together and played church. It'd be a whole lot better than some of the stuff they pray, praise God. Amen. And I will tell you, friend, when stuff like happens, you can mark her down. Somebody needs to hear the message. But by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you one more time that Jesus Christ died for sin. If you'll come to Jesus Christ, your sins can be forgiven today. You can be forgiven. There is no other hope outside of Jesus. There is no other hope. And hey, look, I'm not here. Listen, say, preacher, I'll join the church and I'll be baptized and I'll give money and that's good. That's wonderful. That's great. We want everybody to join Victory. Amen. We want everybody to. But brother, you could join this church. I could baptize you 11 times in the baptistry. You could put every single cent. You could tithe and keep one. You could tithe, 99% and keep a couple of dollars. And none of that would make a difference in the eyes of God. God does not save people by works. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. Watch this. And the faith, that not of yourselves, that faith even itself is the gift of God. Watch this. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Your good works are not going to outweigh your bad works and go to heaven. Your bad works are not going to outweigh your good works, and that's what sends you to hell. That's not the way God works. That's not the way He does it. Let me just say this again. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that the Lord, that's Jehovah God, laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. It's amazing. Brother Allen, go ahead and answer that. See who's calling us. You got a phone right there? Yeah. Tell them they need to be born again. Amen. Tell them they need to be saved. They're not in the house of God. That's right. So that's judgmental, preacher. Well, that's all right. I'm telling everybody they need to be saved. That's up to God to move on their heart. Amen. I don't even know where I was at, but I'll come back to it in a minute. The Bible tells us that Jehovah God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? What did He do? What happened? God laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. He took the sins of humanity and placed them on Christ. Now, I want you to stop and think of just the last week of your life. Let's stop a minute. Listen to me a minute. Just listen to me. Take just the last, let's just be this way. Let's say the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks of your life. Think about what you did yesterday to sin. Just, I want you to think about that for a minute. Think about it for a second. Amen. How many of us complained because we got 1 hour less sleep last night? Was that a faith? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen. How many of us had harsh words to somebody? Sometimes folks need to be talked to in a harsh way. Don't get me wrong. Some folks do. Say, preacher, really? Well, just read Matthew 23. Jesus said some pretty harsh words to the Pharisees. Okay? So understand. Right. But sometimes husbands say harsh things to their wives. And I've heard wives say harsh things to their husbands. Amen. Goes both ways. I've heard it. That's right. Amen. I've heard kids be very disrespectful to their parents. Amen. What those kids need, some sassafras tea, praise God. Amen. Not the kind you drink either. Stripe them legs. That's terrible, preacher. Bible says not to withhold the rod at their crying. We're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about child discipline. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Dr. Spock obviously hasn't worked. I mean, look what went on in our land the last 50 years. Dr. Spock is clueless. Amen. Amen. Think about what happened just think about the last 2 weeks. Where have you sinned? Did you drive down the road and let a word slip you ought not to have let slip? Oh, preacher, Christians don't do that. Did you never read about Simon Peter? When he got upset, he got so mad that he cursed. Wonder that little girl come up to him and said, you're one of them. If Simon Peter could do it, you've done it. You could do it. Not me, preacher. Yeah, you. Right. Amen. Well, I didn't say it, but you thought it. Amen. You see, God not only judges our deeds, He judges the motive on what we would have done had we done it. He knows that because, listen, our heart's horrible. Our heart is wicked. Man is not basically good. He is basically evil. I mean, I'm not being ugly right now, but why is it that we have a nursery for the kids? And I'm not saying it's that because I know we got a lot of young kids here. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying take them out. But why do we have nurseries? Because little children have to be trained to do right. They automatically come out of the womb speaking lies. It's what the Bible says. Amen. We've got to train them to do right. And don't feel bad because folks are still trying to train some adults to do right, and they don't do right all the time. Amen. Think about the last 2 weeks. Think about the sins that you have committed. You have committed enough sins in the last 24 hours. But think about the last 2 weeks to condemn your soul to hell for all of eternity because you have broken the law of God. The Bible tells us in the book of James that if we break one law, 613 commandments in the Old Testament, you break one law, one commandment, you're guilty of breaking the entire thing, which tells us that God demands perfection. God demands that we be perfect to go to heaven. Listen to me. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. You can't sin. You can't have a bad thought, a bad deed, or anything. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. Well, preacher, I'm not perfect. Anybody here perfect? Anybody here perfect? Are you perfect? I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect person, perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect husband, a perfect father. And I'm looking on a group of people. Y'all are just like me. Because you're in the same tabernacle that I'm in. That's right. You're not perfect, but God demands perfection. So watch this. If God demands perfection, then that means that I cannot produce perfection. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God demands perfection. I can't produce perfection. There's no way I can produce that. It is outside of my ability because, watch this, I'm wired to do bad. I'm predisposed to do bad. I know this sounds bad, but I'm wired to lie. You are too. Amen. I'm wired to steal. You are too. Oh, preacher, no, we're not. I've never stolen anything. Have you sat down on the job for 5 minutes without doing the work that you were supposed to be doing? If you did, then you've stolen 5 minutes from your employer. Come on, preacher, amen. Kick that dog, shake that tree. That's right. Amen. That's right. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. God demands perfection. Brother Kurt, are you perfect? No, I know that. Amen. Brother David, I've heard you sing. No, I've heard you sing. You do okay. I know you're not perfect. I know you're not perfect. None of us in this building is perfect. None of us can give perfection. None of us can. God demands that we be perfect in our heaven, but I can't. So guess what? That means I'm going to hell. Ah, but wait, there is more. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. See, if it was up to me to get to heaven, there's no way I could make it. But the Bible tells us that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus lived, watch this, a perfect life. 613 laws in the Old Testament. You know how many Jesus broke? None. None. Jesus was perfect. He kept the law of God perfectly. Absolutely perfect. But yet, here's the problem. The religious leaders did not want to receive Jesus for who He was. They didn't want Him. They did not want to have that man tell them how things were to go because they had their own way of keeping things. He said this. He said that if a man looks with lust, it is the same as committing the act of adultery except in his heart. Let me ask us a question here. I've done this before. We'll do it again. How many of us have stolen anything? irrespective of how valuable that it is. Whether it was a pencil, whether it was an eraser, whether it was 5 minutes of an employer's time. You know, you call somebody who steals a thief. You ever told a lie? Yeah. What do you call somebody who tells a lie? I'm not a liar. Yeah, if you tell one lie, you're a liar. Amen. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? And it doesn't have to be in the form of a cuss word. It can just be using God's name in an irreverent fashion. Have you ever texted OMG? Oh my, and then just said, that is taking God's name in vain. That's not how we do things. That's not how Christians talk. What do you call somebody who takes God's name in vain? A blasphemer. And you know what the penalty was for blasphemy in the Old Testament? Stoning. And if you've ever looked at the opposite sex with the wrong thoughts, Jesus said, if you look, you've already committed adultery in your heart. If you look with the wrong thoughts, you're an adulterer in heart. Now listen to me. That's four of the Ten Commandments. Every person in this room, if you come right down to it, are lying, thieving, blasphemers who are adulterers in their heart. Now, some of the young folks, you may not even have thought of some of that stuff, but you know what it is to lie. You know what it is to tell mom you've done your homework and you haven't done your homework. Amen. You know what it's like to slip off on your phone and go places you ain't supposed to go on the phone. Hey, man. Amen, preacher. That's right. Amen. That's exactly right. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know what that's like. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has. Say, preacher, well, I'm doomed. That is exactly right. You're going to hell. If you're a sinner, you're going to hell. There is no middle ground. Well, I'll go to purgatory. No, there is no purgatory. That's a Catholic invention. There is no purgatory. Amen. I used to believe in it when I was young, when I was Catholic, but there is no purgatory. Amen. There is no second chance. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. You get one shot at this life. One shot, and that's it. There is no do-over. There is no second chance. There's no let's go back and look at the play again and see if we can just re... No, there is none of that. There is no review. That's it. This is it. Here's what happened. Here's what God did. God sent His Son into the world. He kept the law of God perfectly on our behalf. Mankind says we don't want Him, we don't want this man, and so they nailed Him to a cross. They did that because they wanted to kill Him. But in the plan of God, God had already ordained that Christ go to Calvary. I do not always understand how that the sovereignty of God and the will of man work together, but you see where man exercised his will in crucifying Christ, and God took it to provide salvation for the whole world, if they'll just have it. When Jesus was on the cross, before He went to the cross, you know the story. They beat Him. They spat upon Him. They hit Him, put the crown of thorns on His head. They beat the crown of thorns into His head. The blood's going everywhere. They reached up and they grabbed His beard and they yanked it out of His face. They cleared their throats, spat in His face. I guarantee you, if I went up to any man in this room and spat in your face, you'd haul off and knock me on my can. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, that wouldn't happen. Spit in my face and watch what happens. I'll show you how. Amen. That's exactly right. And I hope you can run 1,200 feet per second. Amen. Amen. Imagine that. Imagine that. They spat on His face. They whipped Him and they beat Him. I wonder if I could get either, you know, like Michael and Eli, or get Brother John and Little Lynn. I wonder if I was to bring them up here, pull my belt off, and say, let me go ahead and beat your kid because it'll do people good watching me. if they are the dads that I think they are, they'd look at me and tell me to take a hike. But here's what God did. God let His Son come into the world, and men took wicked hands and they crucified the Lord of glory. And at 12 noon, when the lights went out in heaven, God took my sins, every wicked, ungodly thing that I'd ever done, He put that on Jesus, and He punished Jesus in my place. Brother Allen, He took every wicked thing you had ever done, every wicked thing, brother, and put that on Jesus and punished Jesus in your place. Miss Sarah, I love hearing your testimony. It never gets old. He took every bit of that wicked stuff and put it on Jesus Christ, and He punished Jesus in Miss Sarah's place. Brother Eric, He punished Jesus in your place. And I could look at you this morning, those of you who are saved, and I can say that Christ punished Jesus in your place. For those of you who aren't saved, I can tell you this, that if you will receive Him, what He did for you is sufficient for you. In that 3 hours of darkness from 12 noon to 3 o'clock, God punished Jesus in the place of sinners. And here is God. He is seeing what goes on at the cross. And here's Jesus on the cross. But then here's what God does. He turns His back on His Son. And Jesus cries, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" God forsook His Son on the cross. Here's why. Because His Son had become sin. That's how serious sin is. God punishes sin. God takes it seriously. So much that He turned His back on His beloved Son when His Son became sin. But this is the part that I love. Christ said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? So that when I stand before God one of these days, He will not say, depart from me, because Jesus will say, Father, this is one of those who's come to me. I told him if he'd come to me, I would in no wise cast him out. He has come to me. And the Father will not say, go away. The Father will say, come right on into my kingdom prepared for you. Amen, because you've received my Son. You see, it's not about being a Baptist. It's not about, now look, I'm a Baptist. I'm unashamed to be a Baptist. Amen. I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. But it's not about being a Baptist. I want you to be saved before you're a Baptist. Amen. Amen. It's not about being a good person. It's not about being baptized. I've heard people say, well, I've been baptized. Well, that's nice. But baptism does not mean that you're saved. You have to realize that you've sinned. You have broken God's law. And listen to me, God has every right to punish you and to put you in hell for your sins. God help us this morning. God help. Y'all pray. God has every right to put us into hell, put you into hell for your sins. Every right. You got to realize that. You got to realize that God is just to punish you in hell. But God has provided a way of escape. Look, I don't want to go to hell. You look in those buildings in New York City, and I mean, we're talking story after story after story after story. There are those metal steps coming down those buildings. You know what that's called? It's called a fire escape. Why do they have that? Because nobody wants to die in a fire. But friend, when a person goes to hell, that fire lasts for all of eternity. If we could take one grain of sand from the East Coast. I mean, we're talking, let's just go from Texas, the Gulf, all the way up Florida, all the way up Georgia, the Carolinas, up toward Cape Cod, Maine, and all that. If we could take all of that sand that's on the East Coast, one grain at a time, and walk one grain across the continent of the United States and drop one grain of sand onto the West Coast, and walk all the way back and pick up one grain of sand, and walk all the way back, by the time you have taken every grain of sand off the East Coast and planted it on the West Coast, the first second of eternity has not even begun. person goes to hell, they go forever. This morning, I just want to ask you, are you sure that you have placed your faith and trust in Christ? I might have baptized you. It doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about whether you've come to Jesus. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you come to Christ? Please don't leave this place today unless you are absolutely confident that you have trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation. Miss Judy, won't you come just play us a verse? And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let y'all stand. Just bow your heads for a moment. If you want to talk about being saved, I'll be glad if you want to come to the front and we'll talk about it. If you want to stay after church and us talk about it, that's fine. But I want you to meditate on what you've heard. I want you to meditate on what you've heard this morning. And if you need to be saved, we are here to help you. And listen, say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I've been saved. We can talk to the Lord about that. But I will tell you this, none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. And we all sin. Even after you're saved, you sin. Okay? There are some folks who preach you are sinlessly perfect. Well, I'd like to talk to their wives to find out if they are sinlessly perfect, because they're not. But I will say this, that if the lifestyle you live is a lifestyle of unrepentant, don't care who knows, sin, you never go talk to God about that thing, you never bring it before God, you never say, Lord, please help me. If that happens, you sin, you continue sin, you couldn't care less, and you're not worried about what God thinks about it, you're in trouble. I'll say this, you're deceived, you are in trouble. Amen. Miss Judy's going to play. If I can help you, you want to pray this morning, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. Play another verse this morning. Folks, I...